Hello, Patrick Stack here. We are on a small break at the moment, but we didn't want to leave you without anything to listen to over this festive period. So we've put together some of our favourite episodes from 2025. Hope you enjoy.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
Here's Aloisi for a place in the World Cup. He's scored!
What's your favourite Australian sports moment? Every time I see that list composed, the Socceroos World Cup qualifier 2005 v Uruguay is generally near the top. Striker John Aloisi and keeper Mark Schwarzer were the heroes from an epic penalty shootout. And the keeper has just been unveiled alongside NRL legend Cam Smith, AFL hero Jason Dunstall, netballer Laura Geitz and tennis player Leighton Hewitt as the athletes elevated to Sports Australia's Hall of Fame. Schwarzer is joining us to talk about what he achieved, but also the future of Australian football, and he has some interesting things to say. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. We already knew Mark Schwarzer was an Australian football legend, but Sport Australia has gone and put an exclamation mark on it, elevating him to their Hall of Fame mark. A kid from Sydney club, the Colo Cougars, in the Hall of Fame. That's got to feel pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it's an incredible honour and one that completely blindsided me, and I feel very privileged to be in this position. It really did actually catch me off guard. I mean, I received a phone call from John Bertram. I was just here in my house in London, and when I received the call, I actually thought I was being punked. I just, this can't be real. It was also a little bit of in awe of John Bertram, the man himself, and as a kid growing up, you know, America's Cup, and listening to it on the radio back in the day when I was growing up.
I tell you what, any boss who sacks anyone for not turning up to die is a bum.
And there's a synergy there, isn't there? Because, I mean, America's Cup was a huge Australian sport moment. And I think, given the breadth of what you achieved in your career, I don't know that it's always fair, but media and fans can default to your epic saves in the Uruguay qualifier.
There it is. Penalty kicks will decide a place in World Cup 2006.
When we distill your career, which was another epic Australian sports moment, I mean, if you were summing up your career, what memories would you default to sort of define it?
Well, it's obviously the one that jumps out.
Saved by Schwarzer!
Great
save! He's done it again! Mark Schwarzer is the hero for Australia!
It's a massive save.
You know, the qualification against Uruguay in 2005, the history between the two nations, the qualifying campaign 4 years earlier, the way in which we were treated, certainly in Montevideo when we arrived in the country. We had government assistance in the end because of how badly we were treated, how we were abused at the airport, spat out, punched at, all those sorts of things that added up to this moment in 2005 in Australia, in front of the Australian public, 83,000 people in the stadium and however many millions of people watching, listening to it around the country, if not around the globe. You know, we'd only qualified for one World Cup previously. Off the back of many, many failed campaigns, myself being part of a number of those as well, being so close but so far on so many occasions, it was a moment that I think Australian football exploded. Australian football received recognition.
Oh, great save again by Schwarzer.
Huge save.
Wonderful save.
It's as big as we've ever seen in Australia. I'm sorry, it is.
There was a little bit of unrest in Australia. Racially, we had some issues. And football is the only sport in Australia that brings every ethnicity together. And on that particular night, we united.
It seems to me, listening to you speak about it, it's a great sense of pride, that moment of unification for you.
Yes, very much so. And I think as players, we were very aware of what this meant to football supporters who'd seen the failed campaigns, the near misses.
Mark Schwarzer, you are a champion.
To then be part of this night that was fueled by this new rivalry that had been created against Uruguay. The first time I'd ever experienced, and probably the last time I've ever experienced, an Australian public boo the national anthem of an opposition. And I totally understood it and totally got it. And I find it strange me saying this, but I was loving it because it was kind of almost like a bit of just desserts. And fortunately for us, we're on the right side this time.
John Aloisi, can you believe what is happening here? 32 years, the curse has been broken.
Yeah, finally. We've been dreaming it for 32 years, and we couldn't ask for a better finish.
the rest speaks for itself. You know, we've qualified for six in a row now. That's pretty special as well. And I feel an enormous sense of pride of being part of that generation of players that started the momentum.
What you talk to there is Socceroos moments. You don't mention the fact that you won two Premier League titles with two clubs. And I'm interested in your relationship with the Australian game because it speaks to me of the pride that you have there. You haven't lived in Australia for, I think I'm correct in saying, three decades plus. So how would you describe your relationship with Australian football?
One that's very intimate. I mean, I'm involved now with the Football Development Committee with the Football Federation. So I still have an active involvement in important decisions and discussions within football community, which is really close to my heart. I was born in Australia. I grew up in Australia. I was from immigrant families. I know what it's like to grow up and try and find a sense of belonging. And football gave me that. That's what football does.
It's interesting to hear the emotion when you speak about the game in Australia. I think it says a lot that you are working for Football Australia or with them in an advisory capacity to try and give back to the sport. What does the sport need to do in this country, do you think, to elevate itself?
I mean, there's so many elements to that, isn't it? First and foremost, as national teams, you know, we're talking about finding a culture, finding an identity. And I think the Socceroos and the Matildas have very much laid down the foundations for that themselves through multiple generations of players that have come through. And it's about trying to allow people to know what it really means to play for the Socceroos, for the Matildas, for the young Socceroos, young Matildas, all the different national teams to set the example, to set the bar, and to make sure that that is continued forever. In terms of the growth of the game, football is incredibly popular at all age levels. That's something that you can't take for granted. That's something that you need to acknowledge and to nurture even further. Development of junior players coming through is a big one. There's an ongoing debate about pathways for young players, establishing what are the pathways, how do we develop players, how do players find their journey into representing their country, you know, because not everyone has the same journey.
We've just qualified for a sixth straight men's World Cup. As you say, your golden generation started that run. Their last tournament, the Socceroos, was as deep as they've ever been. Our squad from the last international window has one player in the Premier League. It's pretty thin across top flight of Spain, Italy, France, Germany. There are instances, but it's thin. Why do you think more of our players aren't in the top flights of European leagues?
You know, it's something that I said many, many years ago when the A-League was created and also when we joined the Asian Confederation. It is a move that we had to do and we have benefited from incredibly. But also for our domestic league, it was imperative that we had a competitive and a high standard league, and that's something that is continuously evolving. But I think in general, overall, I think the league has improved a lot. But with that, you have an element of a safety net. And if I give the example of when I was coming through and my generation of players is that we didn't have a fallback. There wasn't a domestic league that was a professional league and a league that you can necessarily fall back into and still be at the same level or a similar level as when you were overseas. With the A-League, we have that now. We have a professional environment, standards now that are increasing year on year. So if you're playing a sport and able to play still in your own domestic league at a good level and earn some good money, then there is a temptation to stay longer. There is a temptation to come back when things get a little bit more difficult. And I think my generation, when things were not going so well, you had to find a way to succeed. You had to find a path to play. And that was by more often than not just rolling your sleeves up and fighting. And in doing so, I think it breeds a different type of mentality. And certainly when you have success from it, I think you grow quite significantly as a player.
So European football comes down to a spot kick. Robbie Fowler against Mark Schwarzer. Fowler preparing to take probably the most vital kick of his career. Schwarzer on the line. Fowler, Mark Schwarzer's in! Get in! Get in, you big Aussie! He's done it! Mark Schwarzer saved it! He's the greatest Australian hero since Ned Kelly! Marvellous!
Today we have players that do come overseas to Europe for a year or two. Things don't work out, they move back to Australia. That's the safety net. And I believe that the detrimental effect on our development of players is slightly that. It's going back and not necessarily sticking it out because the rewards on the other end of getting through that, I think, are more significant. And then also we have the influence of Asia. Playing in different leagues across Asia where there are vast sums of money available, but not necessarily the best leagues to play in. So development of players is not at the same rate as it would be if you were playing in a better league.
That's fascinating. in preparation for this conversation, I was talking to some football people about you, and the most common thing I heard was work ethic and attention to detail. I'm not trying to frame this as back in my day sort of question, but do you feel like this generation has the same level of grit and work ethic that you saw from your cohort?
There's no doubt for me. One could argue that there is possibly even more work ethic today than there was for my generation. And the reason I say that is because of the levels of training that you have today, the level of professionalism, training, the expectation of players grows all the time. From my day, there were a lot of players that could easily be turned by the party lifestyle, drinking culture, all those sort of things, which were synonymous certainly in the UK when I first arrived in the 90s. That is slowly phased out. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. What I'm saying is because of the level of professionalism, the testing that goes on, the level of training that happens and the monitoring that happens, and also social media, you can't go anywhere without people knowing where you are, who you are, and certainly if you're an athlete playing at the top level. So it makes it really difficult. There are just different challenges today than there were when I was growing up. And one isn't more difficult than the other. They're just different. And they're challenges that this generation of players have to deal with. And it's something that we need to be very open-minded about and very conscious of, to lend support and guidance with those elements of the game that is forever evolving. And I think that's also reverts back to one of your roles as being an advisory board, that you are able to also have those discussions.
Just finally, it's really interesting to me to hear some really prominent Australian football people talking about needing to be out of the country to contribute to the sport, to be part of the sport. I'm thinking about Ange Postecoglou. I'm thinking about Paul Okon. I'm thinking about Craig Moore. I just wondered, do you feel that? And if so, could you articulate maybe why that is?
Well, I think as players and those people that you mentioned there, we were given opportunities. We were given platforms. We were coming from a background where there was a sense of you had to fight for everything. You fought for feeling part of something, belonging, integrating into society, generally guided by a parent, if not both parents, because of their passion. And those people that you mentioned there, we're all immigrants. We're all people from families from, you know, from parts of the world where football is the main sport and up there with religion in so many countries. And I think as players or as people growing up in Australia, we identify and certainly relate to a lot of the generation of players coming through today with most Australians. And I think we have such a passion and a love for the sport. And we also see that football in Australia sometimes stumbles along. And I think as players and having vast amounts of experience in different places around the world, different leagues, different competitions, different teammates from different parts of the world, and having an understanding of how football evolves and develops in other parts of the world, that you kind of take different kind of perspectives and different little ideas from people and think that actually that could possibly work in Australia. That could actually help with the development of football. So you want to try and add a little bit from your own experiences and try and influence and try and help and try and guide, whether it be current players and administration level, clubs. And I think it's all part of the journey for everyone to try and give back in some way, shape or form from your own experiences.
Mark Schwartzel, you've been very generous with your time and your answers. Thank you so much on what is a massive day for you personally. Congratulations. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed that. We will be back with fresh episodes January 5. See you then. Thanks to Middlesbrough and the Socceroos for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.